Can we move on to the final agenda item? I say this as the benefit of everyone's mental health. There's one other item, and I hope, with great hope, that this is a short agenda item. Mr. Jordan? Meh.
It was excellent segue by Dr. Neal. This should really be, should be short. Comes out of this frustration, all the agita, whatever word you want to use. Recreational reporting is something that VMRC has played around with for a number of years now, and at the last December commission meeting, the end of last year, there was an attempt to set things right and really make an effort to produce a system that the anglers will not mind using, because this is obviously, philosophically, it's almost unheard of to require recreational anglers to report data, but as Dr. Neal has really expressed more of a sentiment that something has to change, and so that's where we're at. VMRC has mandatory recreational reporting for striped bass. So a clarification that's probably been lost in the discussion is that charter captains for striped bass report all year round. The spring trophy season is the only time private rec anglers have to report striped bass, trophy striped bass data, but all striped bass data for charter for hire is that's mandatory all year round. Tilefish groupers is mandatory. There's an entire species complex in regulation 1120. And then cobia was the newest member of the band, and obviously has been the most salient, most on people's minds. So just a refresher of what happened at the December meeting. All the tilefish and grouper and striped bass, which had been in reg before, we trimmed down a lot of the required reporting, and then for cobia just set it up to match that so that an angler or charter captain only has to report permit number or MRC ID number, data trip, number of anglers, number of that fish caught and released, and then for striped bass, just bay, coastal, or Potomac as a general location. Everything else has become optional. We still offer the opportunity to give length and weight, tide, whatever, things like that, the bait you're using, but the goal was to make something that did not take so long for the angler, didn't require them to measure every single fish that they're catching. So we believe that we got that half of it right. But the other half that through angling club visits over the past couple months, through just talking with anglers and captains, something that we think might need a little bit more work is how we have set up the permits. So the original idea was to have a permit for whatever mode you're fishing. So if you're a charter captain, you get a charter permit. If you're a private angler with a boat, you get the private vessel permit. And if you were someone else, you got an individual permit or a shore permit, whatever we had called it for the various fisheries. So one thing that we've run into is people saying, well, I have a boat, but sometimes I go on my friend's boat. Do I have to get two permits, or I'm a charter guy, but I also fish for fun? Why do I have to get two permits? And so we started thinking of, is there a way to make it work with just one permit per species? And an indirect problem that came out of all of this is if I have a vessel permit or an individual permit and I fish on my friend's vessel, do I still have to report, or is that captain reporting under his reporting requirements? And so we had confusion about whether or not there'd be double reporting. And so that became a secondary issue. And so staff realized, you know, through, like I said, a couple visits to angling club meetings where we got a lot of good feedback, and just through phone calls, emails, talking with people, that if we can do it, we should do it. Because 2016 into 2017 kind of represented this new turning point where VMRC means to take this seriously. And we're doing a disservice to them if we're not putting out the best product possible, if we know that there are improvements that we can make. And so obviously it's not fun to be bringing three full regulations before the commission just a couple months later, but if we can make it happen, that's what we'd like to do. But with that being said, and knowing that we're not perfect, we don't have all the information or all the loopholes, there's a possibility that couple months down the road, or maybe at the end of the year we reevaluate it, that we may want to change this again. And so what staff has thought about is, are there things about this system that would not require bringing it before the commission for a public hearing, just to save meeting time, to save staff time? Obviously, the required pieces of data, things like what does the angler have to report, what species does the angler have to report for, that should always be something that comes before the commission, because that's something that very directly affects the angler or the captain. What we have thought about is, if we want to change an optional field on the reporting form, if we want to call it a cobia permit instead of having these three permits, that seems to be something that doesn't affect the intent of the regulation or the intent of the reporting program, and seems to be something along the administrative side that staff could have the discretion of doing. And so we've worked a lot with council on what can be done and whether or not this could be something delegated to staff. And so maybe with all that being said, we still have to go to a public hearing to change what's already there. So you can see by the bolded text right here, in reg, and I'm just using cobia as an example because, I don't know, maybe I'm masochist. But we have it designed so that it explicitly states there is an individual permit, there is a private vessel permit, there is a charter permit. And so obviously the commission, you know, staff can't turn around and say none of those matter anymore because it's in reg. So if you look at B, it says, it shall be unlawful for any permittee to fail to report trips where cobia were caught, blah, 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 on forms provided by the commission. And so if council has anything on this, maybe we'll be able to work it out, but obviously that might be what the public hearing is for. But a potential rewording would just be collapsing all those permits to just say a recreational cobia permit covers every action, and then on forms provided by the commission could cover whatever we need them to report. As it stands now, they're already reporting whether they fish from a kayak or a private vessel or from shore, and so it should all be covered. And then that would also address that indirect issue of who's reporting when. That way, with just one permit, we can say, if you're the captain, you're reporting for the vessel. Doesn't matter if anyone else has a permit. And that way, hopefully, there's less confusion. So that's sort of what staff has put together. And obviously, the recommendation would be staff recommends the commission hold a public hearing at the March 2017 meeting to discuss changes to the permitting and mandatory recreational reporting requirements for the spring trophy striped bass fishery and charter striped bass fishery, Chapter 4 VAC 20-252-10, tilefish grouper, which is Chapter 4 VAC 20-1120-10, and the cobia fishery, Chapter 4 VAC 20-510-10. And these changes are in the hopes of simplifying the permitting system and reducing redundant reporting on the angler's side. So a little bit of a whirlwind. Hopefully that was fast enough without compromising information, but gladly take any questions if there is confusion.
Are there questions? Is there confusion?
No. Comments?
Also, request for a public hearing at the March meeting.
Do I get to make a comment?
Yes, you do. Mr. Neal.
Ryan, first of all, you've done excellent work, and I appreciate it. And your thoughts of changing it, he contacted me about this, whether I thought it was a good idea, and I think it's excellent. And I really think it was our intention is still what he was planning on doing. And so basically, I think we're just reconfirming what we did last year and giving staff the freedom to do it. My comment I kind of made to Rob earlier, our goal, we may not be able to replace MREP for all recreational fisheries, but our goal for this, we should be able to do it for one. And so for our goal for this reporting, I think you're getting there, is to do better than MREP, to replace it. And that's where we really need to be going, and whatever it takes. And this is what John was talking about. You know, North Carolina's one of the recommendations was to weigh and measure every freaking cobia that's brought in. And we have the means to do that. And when I suggested that, Lewis grabbed his chest because I think he was having a heart attack kind of thing because, you know, we have volunteer weigh stations, but they're there. But I actually have talked to a couple of them, and I said, you know, is this what it would take for us to get real numbers and keep our cobia season, would you do it? I mean, would you? And they said, hell yeah. That I've only talked to two, but that was both of their answers, exactly that. Hell yeah. Do anything, but don't close the season. And we don't care. They didn't care about lengths, boat limits, anything like that. They just wanted an open season because of this closure. They're not making any money. I did ask one of the charter captains. Yeah, that'd be kind of inconvenient. We come in after the weigh station is closed. We have to wait until tomorrow to clean their fish and that kind of. But if that's what it took for us to get numbers that were good enough to satisfy the federal government that our numbers are better than their numbers, would you do it? You go, oh, yeah, we'd make it work. And so you've got the recreational community that for this fish, we're ready to do whatever it takes. And you're the expert. I mean, you published some paper about some just a totally voluntary app that came up with numbers like comparable to MRIP.
And yeah, so whether that's validation or condemnation, I'm not sure that was an entirely
voluntary app. Mm-hmm. And so now we're talking about mandatory. And in general, mandatory reporting for recreational fishing has sucked. And so we have these programs, bluefin tuna, right, that are mandatory, but then they don't use the numbers. And so either make the numbers so they're going to be the numbers we use, or don't do it. And so for this fishery, let's do it right. And so what I would encourage you to do is, if you think this is strong enough, then fine. If you want us to freaking weigh our fish, we'll weigh our fish. But for this fishery, let's get real landing numbers. Let's get out of this estimate thing. North Carolina did it with bluefin. You know, they got out of their estimates. They're tagging every bluefin. Everyone's measured. You know, it can be done. And for this one fishery, I think we have to do it. And you've got the recreational community, the one time that I've ever known it, that is asking for, actually kind of demanding real numbers. And so, reporting is terrible. Recreational commercial guys do it all the time, and they're used to it. And so now let's make it right. And the simpler you make it, the better. That's good. And there has to be a stick. We talked about that. You have to have a permit. If you don't report, you don't get your permit back. And then there's got to be a way of kind of checking it. And then with commercial guys, you've got the dealer's reports and that kind of thing. And so whatever you need to do that. So I guess what I want you to think about is what it's going to take you to develop a program that knocks the federal government on its butt and says your numbers are better than our numbers. And it takes a lot to do that. I mean, you're talking to China. That's it. I'm sorry.
Mr. Erskine.
Ryan, you had in kind of the reporting straw man of what you felt was really, critical information, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
In there, you didn't have, I don't think, the length. So you had the number of fish caught and released, but for cobia in particular, wouldn't it be important to capture the length of the fish?
Yeah, and length of really any fishery, any fish, is always going to be useful. The main thing is it's nice to know what we would call the size structure of a population, which is how many fish are in this range of sizes, how many are in this, and this. And I hate to use the word concession because, when we presented to FMAC in September, the will of the committee there was we want total harvest. And obviously, if you want total harvest and weight, you do need to know the size of fish. But one thing staff had come to the conclusion of is we have the carcass program, the donation program. So we do have size samples of fish. We get, somebody might be able to give a more exact number, but we get a couple hundred cobia a year.
Which is a really good sample.
So, and that's a lot of, usually you're looking at 30, 40, 50 samples of something is good to figure out a range of sizes. Mm-hmm. So the difference between number of fish caught and released and size is that one piece of information you know right away. If you go fishing, in that moment, you darn know whether you caught one fish, two fish, or three fish. You aren't guaranteed to know the exact size or the exact weight of a fish just by catching it and releasing it or catching it and throwing it in the cooler. So it does introduce an extra step of effort on the angler's end. And for something like tilefish, where that number is in the dozens, it really does make a difference. And so when you come into this realm of recreational reporting, especially recreational where the culture is not there, half of it is science and half of it is we need to make something that people will use. Because if we don't get good compliance, then it's just another data set of unreliable data. And so between having those carcass donations and trying to make a product that is easy and not time-consuming, we left the size information off there. And that may come back in the future. But I think, you know, if we could get a good estimate on the number of fish and use the VMRC's carcass donation sizes, or even just use the MRIP average weight, if that number is 8,000 instead of 27,000 fish, then we already have something to say, well, okay, we do have a little bit of a discrepancy here. So obviously, as a fishery scientist, as someone who works on stock assessments, I'd love to have every single length. And we still offer it as optional, so it's still a possibility. But, you know, at this point, with FMAC saying, what do we need bare minimum to get total harvest, this was where we settled out on.
Okay.
And trying to keep it the same between all three fisheries. I mean, it's a huge burden for tilefish. If you catch 30 blue line tilefish, we did have a report where somebody measured every single one of them, even knowing it's not mandatory anymore. But, you know, you have to understand that there are some anglers out there who still aren't convinced that we even need this. And so we do have to keep in mind that there's going to be a little bit of resistance, and coming up with something that's easy is hopefully the best step forward, first step, I'll say.
So, Mr. Erskine, I'll tell you my perspective on this is that I think that this data is needed. It's needed quickly. It has immediate impacts, and the simpler we make it, the better compliance we're going to get on this. I don't think we have time to spend to get a point where we have complete buy-in here on each and every little component on this, and I'll note that it's taken more than 20 years with mandatory reporting in the commercial sector here to reach a point where we've been at for the last 6-8 months where we haven't had a single violation brought before us. That it took 20 years to get to that point is telling. I don't think we have 20 years to get to that point for recreational reporting.
There'd be a whole lot of closures.
So, in effect, what you're asking is a request for a public hearing in March here to be able to streamline this and get this all in order.
Yeah, and barring any
staff recommendation.
Second.
Motion by Mr. Erskine, second by Mr. Neal, because he was louder.
Wednesday.
All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Noes? The chair votes aye as well. The motion passes unanimously. Is there anything else on the agenda or for the good of the order? Hearing none, seeing none, the meeting is adjourned with my thanks to everybody's hard work today.